Good morning. Thanks for joining us. I'm Chrissy Mernon, and my guest is Joanne Andera. She is Executive Director of the Texas Folklife Festival. And can you believe it? The 46th Texas Folklife Festival starts on Friday. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this year. And Joanne has been at all 46?
I have been at all 46, and this will be my 36th as director.
Wow. That is... Isn't that incredible? Does time fly when you're having fun?
It does. It just seems so, just a blink of an eye. I think the hardest part, though, is our participants are, over the years, they were a lot of them were older when they started, and we've lost so many of our talented craftspeople, a lot of our history, and so they're just not replaceable, and that's really... I'd say that's probably the hardest part of my job is losing our friends, and they're like family, and it's hard.
Mm-hmm. And while that happens, you know, time marches on, you do get some new participants because we are still a nation of immigrants, and we do have people coming here from various parts of the world, and they bring with them their wonderful food, their beautiful attire, and their marvelous entertainment. And how do you connect with them, and what do you offer at the Texas Folklife Festival?
Well, normally a lot of the groups find out about us through things like this show, word of mouth. A lot of them will be at the event itself, and they'll say, well, we want to be represented. So they will contact us, and we will work with them to see. It's not that easy. It is a lot of work. It is time-consuming. And for a lot of the new immigrants, they're really struggling with language, getting a job, getting acclimated to this world of San Antonio that we live in. So for a lot of them, it's just not that easy. So we try to get them to come and just have a table and talk about who they are and a map of where they're from, and to encourage others who are maybe visiting and to kind of meet people that are from their same ethnicity. So we do that, and I think that we, through the Institute, the work that the Institute does, we've always been the repository for so much of the history of the state, and it's important for us to do that. The other side of it is that we are also embracing technology, because that's culture too. And even though we have lost so many of our gunsmith and our scrimshaw maker. For example, we're going to have the bibliotheque with Bexar County, and they're going to be doing robotics. And that's the new culture of our young people. And we're looking to do some other kinds of technological showcasing so that you can juxtaposition the Back 40, which is all of the crafters, with the direction of where we are today. Even though we're losing some of our heritage, which I think is really sad, we're also changing so much that we want to make sure that we don't leave anybody out when we're doing our presentations.
So the Back 40 area, what's there? For someone who hasn't been to the Texas Folklife Festival in a while, and it has changed, are they still making bread back there?
Yes, they are. We've got our bread bakers are still there, our San Antonio loafers. We have Rick Smith and they're all of the antique tool demonstrators. Tim Todd and them talk about folk medicine and pioneer life. Our basket makers, our potters, our woodworkers. We have a huge area for woodworking. We have sauerkraut making. Theda Sultanfuss has been with us for 46 years. And this year she called and said, I can't do it. I just can't. So a couple of weeks went by and she goes, well, the crises in my life are all over and I just can't imagine not being there. So the connection that these people have for each other and for this event is something that you really can't, it's priceless. And then we're going to have our former director, Claudia Ball's daughter, Alice Strunk, is doing preserves and pickles and carrying on her mom's tradition. We've got the Bexar County Master Gardeners that are going to be doing stuff with the kids. We're going to have our watermelon seed spitting contest on Saturday. So we're very blessed. We still have a really strong, vibrant Back 40. we're just missing a few of our heroes from back there. And so we do the crafts, and then of course we have the food. We have a lot of the different ethnic communities, and we're really excited because this year we're going to have the Alsatians are going to be there with their parisa from, people really missed that when we didn't have it. We're going to have German schnitzels and giggles, which we're going to have schnitzel and bratwurst and all those fabulous foods that everybody just
thinks about. Oh my gosh,
thinks
you're
about.
Me hungry, yes.
We're going to have Drake's Fun Food Soul Food. We're going to have Pho Four-Star with Vietnamese food. We're going to have Crepe Crazy, our Chinese, the Greeks, the Lebanese. It's really interesting because the festival strength, really, we love having newcomers every year. We have a lot of new people that come. But the real core of it is people who have done this forever. It's become a tradition in their life, and they have a set way they go to their Wendish noodles, they go to their Filipino lumpia, they go to the Lebanese tabbouleh or their shish kebab, they go to the Greek gyro, and they actually have a plan of action before they ever get there. And so it's like, it's really, so it's kind of an amazing thing.
Have you changed their path, or are you really, from year to year, try not to change location of groups because people expect them to be in that spot?
There's a lot to be said for change. We don't change just to be changing. A lot of our groups have invested heavily in their locations. And electrical is another consideration of where we can and can't put certain groups because of how much power they need. The Belgians are a great example. They built those Belgian houses to fit that area. And if we tried to move them, I think it would be very difficult. The other is that as much as people go, oh, it's the same old thing, they really love continuity. It gives them a sense of continuity, of things not changing in an ever-changing world. So I think that there's a little bit of each. Adding new groups, adding new things is the difference that we try to make every year. But we're also respecting and continuing the traditional groups that have been there that have invested so much in this event.
So, Joanne, how did you get involved with the Texas Folklife Festival a few years ago, and how did it come about?
The festival was invited. Well, the Institute of Texan Cultures was built in 1968, and in 1967, the Smithsonian invited the Institute to bring a group of Texans to celebrate the Smithsonian Folk Festival in 1968 in Washington. And they gathered this group of incredibly gifted and exciting Texans, the Hondo Crouches, the Arnold Griffins, all of these people that made Texas the colorful state that it was. And they went to Washington and really celebrated Texas. And when they came home, it was decided that we should try to do something like that because the Institute represented the history and culture of the state in static exhibits. But all these people were still living and breathing and working and playing in Texas. So they went out, and O.T. Baker went out and recruited and found and sweet-talked all of these different groups to come to San Antonio to celebrate their food, their music, their dance in one location, one time a year. And the Folklife Festival was born in 1972 in September, and the monsoons hit and it poured down rain, and they kept that up for 3 years, and then they changed the date to August, and then the August heat about killed all of us, so we moved it to June, and the heat has followed us somewhat. My involvement was, I was a multilingual tour guide at the museum after we reopened from Hemisphere.
How'd you wind up there? Or were you working there during Hemisphere?
No, I was too young. Come on, I'm not that old. Pretty old, but not that old. One of my friends from Lebanon was going home, and I spoke Arabic, and I applied as her replacement. And I was turned down. And then a couple of months later, they called me, and I was hired. And we did tours for kids, and we were paid tour guides. I did that, and during Folklife, I would take a leave of absence because I danced with the Lebanese dancers who were a big part of the festival. And then Claudia Ball became the director, And she asked me if I would come be her clerk. And I was going to college at the same time. And when she decided to retire, I really didn't think I'd ever get the... I was young and foolish and...
ambitious.
And they gave me the job. And it was probably the worst year of my life because I really didn't have the experience of something that huge. But I worked very hard. And I tell everybody at times I was really awful. But a lot of people helped me. A lot of people mentored me. I went around the state and would call other festivals and ask their opinions. And we actually started the Texas Festivals and Events because of us getting together and trying to organize and share information. And then, you know, I've been the director for all this time, and it's been a real... I can't imagine a job better suited to my temperament and my personality. I'm a child of immigrants. I really respect what that means, and I am proud that we are able to help assimilate some of our groups by letting them be a part of something bigger, of letting them see what volunteerism is about, of seeing what other Texans went through, and that they aren't the first, nor will they be the last, of our newcomers to our city.
Our guest this morning, Joanne Andera, she's the director of the Texas Folklife Festival. It starts on Friday and runs through Sunday at the Institute of Texan Cultures on the UTSA Hemisphere campus. Boy, that is a mouthful. But it is the University of you are a University of Texas at San Antonio property, and the Institute has been there since the days of Hemisphere. And so here's this big celebration. And so when you look back on, my gosh, this is the 46th Texas Folklife Festival. When you look back on those 45 years, you know, what are some of the highlights, some of the things you thought, wow, this is so cool?
In the early years when the cosmonauts had landed, they came to NASA, and NASA brought them to the festival, and they were a part of one of the... They got them up on stage, and they were dancing with the girls. I think a lot of it has really been the people that we've met, the people that have supported it through the years. And, you know, the years start to run together. The early, the Bill Cranes of the world with Budweiser when they first started, and Lone Star Beer, we forget about those early years when we couldn't have done it without, you know, their support. And these ethnic communities, they sacrificed a lot, and they certainly felt like they were given a place where they could showcase and be seen and have a voice. Some of the fun things, the crawfish races with the Cajuns that used to come from East Texas, and they were an amazing, fun bunch of people. And the festival would close, and then they'd go to their motel and continue the party all night. And we used to house a lot of our out-of-town participants in all the downtown hotels. And the bands would be playing from the balconies. And then they would, as soon as security came, they would run, and they would go from hotel to hotel. So it was really a big folk life kind of a weekend in downtown San Antonio. I think losing some of our groups is part of our history, and that's been really hard when they age out and can't do this anymore. It's heartbreaking for them.
I think it is painful, especially when you see something, because we do lose, you know, when kids lose the example of that. Mm-hmm. But then you say, you know, we've got the technology coming along and things are changing, and so isn't that what goes on? It just evolves and changes, and nothing is permanent except change. And so you have to change with it as much as you showcase the past.
And you know, it's funny, we've had movie stars, we've had sports figures, and they're not as memorable as the Yam Queen or the Cajuns or any of, you know, Bones Nobles or Hickory or any of the groups. that's who made the festival. We're the participants. They are the reason for our success.
Mm-hmm. You think about learning to make, did they make soap at
one
time?
They used to make soap. We made hoe cakes. We did hush puppies. There was a lot, hominy making, syrup making. We actually had a mule and we got cane, and they actually had a huge fire burning and making cane syrup in August. But these are all the things that when those people passed, so did the traditions. And, you know, we've also gotten to where we're legislated by, and I'm certainly not being critical of our health department, but we're a folklife festival, and some of their requirements really inhibit the spontaneity of some of the things that were done at a festival, with requiring floors. I mean, a pioneer cooked on an open fire, they didn't have a floor. So there's a lot of those kinds of changes that...
Rules and regulations.
Rules and regs that have kind of taken place that have happened. The other is things like societal changes. People drink more water now than they drink beer. So you don't see the wild, drunken, revelry of, dollar beer that used to go on. People are a lot more responsible, but I also think that they're also more responsible because there's a consequences to their actions mm-hmm. that are a lot more serious mm-hmm. than they once were. You know, if you get a DUI, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
So people are a lot more safety conscious, a lot more health conscious. And so with our foods, we encourage a lot of our groups to add something green to their menu, because most everything is on a stick.
There was a lot of frying going. But you can have some healthy things at the Folklife Festival.
Absolutely.
So what are some of the foods, that you make sure you get and that you want others to know about?
Egg rolls. Chinese egg roll. I always have the parisa. Always have sausage of some kind. The Polish pierogies are probably the best kept secret on the festival grounds, because they sell out so quickly every year, and they are amazing, 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 amazing.
They are authentic because they're made by people who learn from their grandmas.
Exactly. Exactly. We've got, of course, the Lebanese with their shish kebabs. Their tabbouleh, the Wendish noodles. We've got the Vietnamese chicken stick and crab rangoons. The Turkish, oh my God, their doner beef or chicken sandwiches. The soul food, fried chicken and fried fish with things like yams, mac and cheese, and collard greens. I mean, this is the real thing here. The Native Americans with the American Indians, they do a fry bread, and it's just really amazing. They do a vegetarian one, and they do a meat one. Of course, we have to have Mexican food. We've got the mini tacos, fajitas, gorditas, Belgian waffles. And yes, I actually do eat all of this stuff. The minute we start, it's like, okay, where are we going first? And well, we also have to do it because we want to make sure that there's good quality control. The portion serving sizes are to our expectations, because we approve all of the menu items that are going to go on. We try to make sure that everybody is well represented.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and what about volunteers?
We could still use some. I know we use about 700 civic volunteers. They staff our finance centers, our redemption center, their greeters, our children's area. Whataburger is doing a children's village this year, and it's going to be very different from things that we've done in the past. We have a group called Spare Parts that's working with us, and they do everything out of recyclable materials for the kids to learn. And they're going to build a village out of recyclable materials. So we're going to ask you about where you live, and then we're going to ask you to help us build a house that looks like the place that you live. So we're really excited about that. Our sponsors are amazing. You know, where would we be without HEB? Where would we be without Frost Bank? The people that really appreciate and continue these traditions, the Silver Eagles of the world. Can't say enough about not just Folklife, but all of the events that our community supports, our businesses support. Couldn't do it without them. Mm-hmm. And they're a really important part of our existence and our reason for being able to continue. Our volunteers, what will we do without them? You know, when you run an event the size of Folklife for 3 days, 700 volunteers is a huge number. We're struggling a little bit. People are aging out again, and getting volunteers is, it's not that easy. It's really, people want to give, but it's finding them, and it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And we're very blessed because we have an amazing group of core volunteers that support us.
Mm-hmm. So how can people, how do you want them to connect with you to, because they can volunteer for this Folklife Festival and then other Institute events?
They can go to TexasFolklifeFestival.org, and that they will find under information, the visitor guide, the map, the menu, the entertainment schedule. All of that is online already, and it can be a great way to plan a person's visit. You can buy tickets by going to TexasFolklifeFestival.org, or you can go to HEB or any of the military bases. Our online ticket sales are doing very, very well. And we have group sales. If you buy 10 or more, it's a substantial discount. Admission is $15 at the gate and $5 for children. 12 and under, children 5 and under are free, and our advanced ticket price is $12, so that's a pretty, it's a nice deal, and we're just really looking forward to a celebration of our communities across Texas coming together to really share their food, music, dance, and their crafts. It's just a fun 3 days, and I really hope that San Antonio will come out and support it, because it really, it's a worthwhile event.
Absolutely. And what do you want people to leave with? What do you want them to get at the Texas Folklife Festival?
What a great state we live in, and all of the different people that contribute to make it so. I think that each one of us has our own history, but together as a group, you can do amazing things, and it's a feeling of belonging, a sense of your culture and the importance of the traditions. Even though we're all American and we're all Texans, these are things that are important for who we are as people, to continue some of the traditions that are part of our history and our legacy.
And what about kids? You want them, because your mission is education.
We get an inordinate amount of children. We do a mom's blog. They're very supportive of us. And you see an awful lot of strollers and kids. I think for them, put the computer down, put the Game Boy down. And I don't even know if they play Game Boys anymore. And it's kind of interesting to see, because they come with a particular attitude and they leave with a different one, because all of a sudden they're watching a guy whittle and using a knife. And it's very engaging and it's very hands-on. So you can really get involved in what our participants are doing. And I think that everybody leaves there with an appreciation of the gifts that we all have and that we may not realize that we've got.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of the, and I've seen it over the years, that the people who are doing the demonstrations call a kid up and have a kid do, I thought, whittling, that involves a knife. So I don't know if they're still doing that with the kids, if they're learning them how to do that, or further down the row, they're doing all kinds of things. What can kids learn?
Well, we've got basket weaving. We've got, I think that one of the things I love too about the festival is that the parents really understand that it is whittling and that it is a knife. And our participants are very careful. But we have the huge logs that the kids saw with those. We're very safety conscious, but we also, you can get to the point where it's ridiculous. And you want to be a part of the experience. We want them to do pottery, and they make pots, and they get their hands dirty. And then they have their little pot that they can take home with them. A lot of it, wood stamping, the children's garden, you know, the master gardeners, talk to them about plants and plant life. And, you know, those are the important things for organic gardening. The soldiers, you know, the Fort Concho gang, as I call them, and the guys that come from Victoria, they talk about the history of the military at Fort Concho, and they enlist kids in the military, and they do the different ceremonials with the flag raising. And I think that gives a sense of, oh my God, they did this way back when, and we're still doing it today.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's important. The other thing that I want to remind everybody is that they can come see all those fabulous exhibits that we've got inside the museum at the Institute of Texan Cultures during the event. It's air conditioned. It's inside. We have a stage inside, and we have some wonderful things that people that haven't been there in a while need to come back and kind of enjoy and see the museum.
I'll ask you what's there, because shame on me. I'm one of those people who haven't been there in a while. Drive by it all the time, and you know, because it's always been there. And the last, it does. It has some neat things.
Well, I think one of the things that we've got is the Eagle Ford Shale Project exhibit, and it talks about the whole thing from the housing to the project that we've got. We've got the Texas Missions and Churches of Roberto Cardinale. Oh, my God. It is amazing miniature cathedrals and churches. The artistry of this man is incredible. We have the Texas in the First World War, a little World War I exhibit, and it's another wonderful exhibit that's there. We have Foreign by Land, Native by Heart, which is an exhibit of immigration. So we've got a lot to offer. Those are just special exhibits. Los Tejanos was a new exhibit that we installed a couple of years ago. But if people haven't been there in a while, it's really well done. And it's just a great place to reconnect with, I think.
Mm-hmm. And you've got a great gift shop too, don't you?
Yes, we do. Lots of wonderful things, and you know, lots of shopping at the festival. Around the veranda, we have some amazing crafters too, handmade Texas-made products. Arvel Boatner is going to be back with his Nanny's Best hand creams, and the Nut Buddies are back, and Alan's Honeys. If you like honey, oh my God, his honey's fabulous. We've got Crave Cookies will be there. The Austin Olive Company will be there. We've got an incredible array of caricaturists, artists, and craftsmen that are going to be there selling their wonderful crafts.
So save the date, because it's this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the Texas Folklife Festival, celebration of Texas culture at the Institute of Texan Cultures on the UTSA Hemisphere campus. Joanne Andera is the executive director, 46th Texas Folklife Festival. Anything else you want to say?
Via Park and Ride is only going to run on Saturday, so that's a biggie. The number ridership has been down, so they are only providing service on Saturday, a half hour before we open until we close from Crossroads Mall. So anybody that's coming down, Primo is going to be routed to us, and of course, there's going to be Lyft and all the different ride shares. And come early.
All right. We'll see you there. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.